grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Lord's Day, St. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 36, and verses 41 and 42. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They answered, "The son of David." The gospel for this Lord's Day revolves around two questions. A teacher of the law asked Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? That's the first question. And then Jesus asked the Pharisees, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Now, you no doubt have heard me say what I'm now about to say so many times that you are perhaps tired of hearing it. Nevertheless, it happens to be true. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. St. John, the great apostle of love, puts this with wonderful clarity and simplicity when he writes, "We love because he first loved us." We love because he first loved us. When the teacher of the law asked Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." When Jesus speaks of all the law and the prophets, he means the entire Old Testament scriptures. He means everything God revealed through Moses and all the prophets. All the law and the prophets, the whole Old Testament, depends on these two commandments. Everything written down in the Old Testament scriptures can in fact be summed up in these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Now there was nothing essentially new in this answer that Jesus gave. No pious Jew could take exception to what he said, because Jesus' words are in fact a direct quotation from the Old Testament scriptures. The only new and remarkable thing in our Lord's answer is that he places the commandment to love one's neighbor on the same level as the commandment to love God. And the great apostle of love, St. John, sums up Jesus' teaching when he writes, If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, if we have any self-awareness, if we know ourselves at all, these words of St. John and of the Lord Jesus should cut us to the quick, because we know only too well how difficult this is. There is so much self-interest, so much self-regard, even in our seemingly most unselfish actions. Yes, to be a Christian is a matter of loving, and yet we know how difficult that in fact is. Now, it's a truism that a child who's never been loved, or who's only been inadequately loved, will have a rather difficult time as that child goes on in life. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our relationship to God, we are all of us, without exception, little children. And if we're to grow in love for him and for our often maddening fellow human beings, we must first experience his love for us. His love for us. And this is what Jesus is pointing to when he asks his question, what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? His hearers correctly answer, the Christ, the Messiah, is a son of David. And Jesus then points to the mystery of who he in fact is by citing the opening words of the 110th Psalm, a Psalm of David, the Psalm that's cited more often than any other Psalm in the New Testament scriptures. Jesus asks, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? In saying this, Jesus points to the mystery of who he in fact is, the Lord of all, the love of God in flesh and blood. And in this 110th Psalm, David prophetically provides a wonderful picture of the Messiah. Because the psalm speaks triumphantly of God's victory through the Messiah who is the Son of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The psalm speaks prophetically of his victory over all his foes, sin and death and Satan. And the psalm speaks wonderfully of this victorious king as being also a high priest, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the eternal high priest, who on the altar of the cross wins the victory by dying, who then rises from the dead and ascends into the heavenly places, where as our eternal high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And to be a Christian is to know that you are loved by this eternal high priest and king, the victorious Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What the fallen human race most needs is not so much more good advice about loving, but rather the good news of God's costly forgiveness for our chronic inability to act on all the good advice we in fact already have. For if we only needed good advice, then the teaching of Moses and the prophets would be sufficient. And it would also be sufficient for Jesus himself to be nothing more than the greatest teacher and example of love. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the greatest teacher and example of love. But he is more, so much more than that. Jesus is not only the teacher and example of love, Jesus is the love of God in flesh and blood. He is our Savior. He is, as that 17th century poet Samuel Crossman says, that love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. Love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. In our lostness, in our failure to love, and in all the sorrow and misery that accompany that failure, we cannot rescue ourselves because we can never undo what we've in fact done and failed to do. God alone can rescue us because God alone can pardon us. As Saint Augustine once said, so far had our pride cast us down that only the humility of God could raise us up. So far had our pride cast us down that only the humility of God could raise us up. The humility of God who comes down to us in the person of his dear Son, who through his life of perfect love and through the shedding of his precious blood on the cross has rescued and pardoned us. And because he's risen from the dead, his love never ends. Christianly understood, Christianly understood, this life is a school of love. That's what life is for. Of course, in this school, most of us never succeed in getting much beyond kindergarten, beyond taking those first baby steps in the way of love. And often enough, we falter, we fall, we fail. But the forgiving love of our Savior never fails, so that through his great love, we are in fact being changed into Christ's likeness from glory to glory. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard God's word, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son.